gathering. Salt and light of earth, of heaven, images not of how we might recognize God, images of how God recognizes us. Salt and light for the world, in the world. People of God, bring your saltiness of life, your light of experience, and bless our worship with it. It is who God knows us to be and loves.
Matthew chapter 15. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hidden. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven.
This next song,
to each of us as he makes us, then walks with us silently out of the night. These are the words we dimly hear. You, sent out beyond your recall, go to the limits of your longing, embody me. Flare up like flame and make big shadows that I can move in. Let everything happen to you, beauty and terror. Just keep going. No feeling is final. Don't let yourself lose me. Nearby is the country they call life. You will know it by its seriousness. Give me your hand.
There are folks who think our world is going to the dog, but I don't think I would say that. There are still a lot of good, hard-working people, and to those folks I tip my hat. Lots of honest, loving folks in this world who would not steal so much as a dime. They love their families, try to treat their neighbors as themselves, try to live a golden rule all the time. I bet you folks are that kind. There are still folks in this world who are going hungry, while other folks are growing fat. Some may say it's just survival of the fittest, but I don't think I would say that. No, I don't think I could say that. You may pray for God to help the poor and needy, to care for your fellow man. sisters and brothers, God has no flesh in this world. We must be God's feet and hands. You may pray for God to help the poor and needy, to care for your fellow man. Sisters and brothers, God has no flesh in this world. We must be God's feet and hands. Yeah, we must do just what we can to help each woman, child, and man. Yeah, we must be God's feet and hands.
Robert writes a lot of our music. Terry Rayburn and Trevor, and we've got and Diane and Sue. We've got a lot of wonderful poets and musicians, and Joni, yeah, and Robert will tell you eventually more about this, but I have a recording that somehow I got access to of some of his music. And the other day I picked up Finn, our 8-year-old from school, and that particular song was on. And Finn had not, he didn't know I had the recordings. And Finn got in the car and I said, "What do you hear?" And he said, "Robert's in the car." He knows his voice well, but they do. He also helps with the kids' music. So, salt and light. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Now, while in some sermons you might have to wait about halfway or two-thirds through before, you know, the pastor or I decide to lay out their main point, I'm just going to go ahead and put it out there for you this morning, but that doesn't mean you get to, like, check out and leave, okay? It's not like you have a football game to get home and watch this week anyways. So here it is, the main point. You are salt and light. That's it. You are. You just are. That's who you are. It's part of your identity. It's your calling. It's your Christian DNA. You are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Notice that Jesus isn't asking you to be the salt. He isn't inviting you to shine your light. Jesus isn't encouraging you to try and be salt and light, or suggesting that one day, with lots of good, intense discipleship training, when you've graduated from Sunday school, you might one day succeed in becoming salt and light. We might ordain you to be salt and light. No, that is not what Jesus said. Jesus said, you are salt and light, whether you like it or not. In fact, Jesus said this to a big crowd of folks that had gathered at the mountain, the very ones he had just blessed, as we heard in the first part of his Sermon on the Mount last Sunday. He said this to the folks that were virtuous in ways that the world saw not as worthwhile, but as worthless. Jesus lifted up the meek, the merciful, the peacemakers, the folks that are reviled because of their beliefs in God. He blessed the very folks the world often overlooks, and then went on to say, you, oh yeah, you, you're the salt of the earth. And you're the light of the world. You are witnesses, beacons of light for the radical love of the gospel. You are change makers. That's what Jesus said to the folks that came that day and stood at the bottom of the mountain, and to all of us standing at the bottom of the mountain trying to just catch a glimpse of Jesus, trying to hear what he has to say, trying to experience his healing touch, just trying to draw a little closer to him. To all of us, he says, you are salt. You are light. He's straightforward about it. You might think your life is insignificant, that your presence doesn't impact others, that the world doesn't notice you, that no one could possibly hear you over the loud clanging of the rest of the world, let alone the crashing cymbals of the Christian voices that don't inhabit the same musical staff that you do. I know a lot with three children about feeling like my voice is not heard over others. But you are wrong. You are very wrong. You are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Make that your mantra this year. Jesus needs you to be. He says that you are already that. So just be it. But what does it mean to be salt and light? Salt has a lot of purposes. We learned some interesting things earlier about salt, right? Some that we didn't know. These ones you might will know better. Salt enhances flavors, right? I only learned a few years ago that there were different types of salt that you could cook with. That blew my mind. These days, not this morning, but there have been other Sundays, right, when we've had to break out the salt to melt the ice, so we don't get hurt coming into the building. Where I grew up, we had water softeners because our water was too hard. And I can remember my dad bringing in these really heavy bags of rock salt to soften the water. I never could quite understand how water is soft or hard. And I know there's a few scientists out there. Don't try to explain it to me later because my eyes will just roll up in my head. It's just interesting. The doctor always tells me to gargle salt water when I have a sore throat. Don't tell him I don't do that. I throw salt in water to make it boil faster because at some point along the line, I decided to believe my mother or my science teacher that that would make this painstakingly slow process a little bit faster. Before refrigeration, we were dependent on salt to preserve meat. Oh, and we have salt in our bodies. We would die without salt in our bodies. But we need the right amount, of course. Too much salt can be damaging as well. And that's a pretty important point about salt. It's often about having the right amount of salt and not just in our bodies. It's definitely true about our food as well. Too little salt and we don't quite catch the other flavors in the meal. Too much salt and it overpowers the flavors. Just the right amount of salt, and it perfectly enhances the other spices in the dish. A few months ago, I went through another painstakingly slow process of trying to teach Charles, my husband, how to cook. We lasted like two meals. I was trying to make him teach him to cook one of the twins' favorite meals. And as he was doing things, I said, oh, and add some salt. How much, he asked. Just a few shakes, I said, to which he then requested that I turn around and stop what I was doing and watch him to confirm the length of each shake. Well, how long is a shake? The question caught me off guard, but for a novice in the kitchen, he was, you know, he wasn't comfortable just guessing how much salt to add to his dish, and I actually was pretty thankful he asked in the end because he oversalts things quite a bit. Balance is important to salt when it comes to salt. I always found it interesting that Jesus calls us salt. We kind of skip past that one. We think about the light more. But when you think about it, salt really is rather appropriate. Salt changes that which it comes into contact with. It enhances other elements. It melts things. It soothes, I can't even say that word today, soothes irritations. Of course, too much of it can also embitter others. And it can cause further irritations. And it can even go as far as to dominate and overpower. So that balance is required. Salt that has lost its saltiness, Jesus says, is thrown out. It's useless. Sometimes we hide our faith. We faced rejection before, or we don't want to upset others and rock the boat. We're afraid of what might happen if we lean into this call to be salt and light, and we decide it's just safer around some folks to be silent. We're too embarrassed by the stereotype of Christianity today. We're too tired of defending that we're, quote, not that type of Christian. We're just worn out. Or we feel like, ugh, we're not getting anywhere. We're not convincing anybody. Sometimes it just feels easier and safer to hide our faith or to keep it to ourselves, to lose our saltiness. But Jesus says, we are salt, not expired salt. And salt is bold. It's not bland. It does not hide. Salt is meant to be put to use, poured out from the shaker. That's why they put all those holes in there. It comes out real fast. It's meant to enhance that which it comes into contact with. And so are we, as the salt of the earth, meant to enhance goodness. Meant to enhance love and compassion, meant to enhance peace and justice all around us. We are meant to discover that edgy saltiness that shakes the dish up and pushes it towards something new, something better, something more lively, something that looks more like the kingdom. And in these times, when the truth of the gospel is so often distorted and misused to say and support a climate of inequity and injustice and oppression and abuse of power, we need to be salty. Just the right balance of salty. We are the salt of the earth. We just are. And Jesus says we're also light. Light of the world. Our words, our actions, our very living is a testament to our faith, to a different way, to one that does not judge but loves, one that seeks goodness for all and pushes back on a culture of the haves and have-nots, that builds kingdom relationships where we put others before ourselves. And where we honor our shared humanity, and that we are each made in the image of God. The light of Jesus transformed the people he encountered. He turned our understanding of the world upside down. His light revealed a different way of living with one another and with God. And Jesus tells us, you too are that light. We didn't sing it today, but you all know the song because you learned it probably when you were little. If you grew up in church, we all learned the song, you know, this little light of mine, right? I'm gonna let it shine. We teach our children that message, that they are a beacon, that they are a light in this world, that they are Jesus's feet and hands. That they are a witness for his love when they choose to show compassion and kindness to others, when they choose to love their neighbors. We try to instill this in them. But somewhere along the line, as adults, we sometimes begin to hide that light. We have our own bushel trees, as the song suggests. We turn down the dimmer switch. We put in a lower wattage bulb. Or we cover our light with a dark lampshade. We do this many times for the same reasons that we lose our saltiness. We move toward progressive religious views, and in that transition of pushing away from our evangelical, as defined by America, upbringing, we lose something about how to share our faith, how to share our story, how to share God's liberating love. I was listening to Sweet Honey in the Rock the other day. Does everybody know who Sweet Honey in the Rock is? Yeah. Okay, like four of you. Go home and turn on Spotify. Sweet Honey in the Rock is an all-female African-American a cappella ensemble. They've been sharing music for 4 decades. Their vocalists have rotated as well. And they had a song in 1988 called Ella's Song. And it's a tribute to Ella Josephine Baker. I won't ask if you know who she is. Go look her up as well. She's an important African-American civil rights leader that worked alongside King and many others. And for over 5 decades, she devoted her life's work to grassroots efforts, empowering others to transform civil and human rights. So later, go online, you know, to Wikipedia and Google her and look up Sweet Honey in the Rock. In Ella's song, Sweet Honey in the Rock repeats this line: "We who believe in freedom cannot rest. We who believe in freedom cannot rest until it comes." It's a powerful line. But as I was listening to the song again the other day, there was a verse that really grabbed my attention. They sing, "To me, young people come first. They have the courage where we fail. And if I can but shed some light as they carry us through the gale. The older I get, the better I know that the secret of my going on is when the reins are in the hands of the young who dare to run against the storm, not needing to clutch for power, not needing the light just to shine on me. I need to be one in the number as we stand against tyranny." While the song emphasizes the importance of young people and their courageous and determined spirits to bring about change in the world, notice that it does not excuse us older folks, and I'm starting to be in that category, to the sidelines. Nor did Jesus say that, for that matter. Being a light in the world isn't about having the light shine on us for our own gratification or for keeping the world as we want it. We are the light of Jesus in the world, and lately it feels like we need to shine extra bright. To be clear about what the light represents. Sweet Honey in the Rock applauds the bright light of young people, but they also say that we need to stand together as that light. We who believe in freedom cannot rest until it comes. Isn't that what we believe in? The freedom we experience in Christ? The liberating love of Jesus that calls us to work for a kingdom in which we live in relationship with one another, holding and treating each other as equally beloved. How can we rest until it comes? Can you imagine a world without salt and light? Can you imagine what our world would look like if followers of Jesus had not lived out their faith in such a public way? If they had lost their saltiness or hidden their light. We're 9 days into February, which is Black History Month. Can you imagine where we would be today if so many of the hands and feet of the civil rights movement weren't rooted in a faith in God? If their faith didn't move them to act and live that out publicly? We may be distressed at where we are right now, but where would we be if they hadn't done the work first? Blessed are those who come before us who don't hide their light, but let it shine brightly and transform our world. And blessed are those who are still to come, who are living today and shine their light. You are light. You are the light of the world. You just are. and you are the salt of the earth. It's just who you are, whether you like it or not. I don't know if there's much point arguing with Jesus on this one. But as much as we are those things, we can lose our saltiness, or we could become too salty. And we can try our darndest to hide our light. If you can't tell, I've been listening to a lot of music this week. It's been my escape from my children being crazy. And I love the Avett Brothers. I loved them probably before you knew who they were. Some of you know the Avett Brothers, because they're from where we lived in North Carolina. So when I knew them, when they were just kind of a small local group before they hit Gap ads and became, you know, big, huge things across the nation. But they have this song that it's one of my favorite songs. It's called Head Full of Doubt, Road Full of Promise. And there's one particular line in my head, line in that song that has been in my head ever since I chose this sermon title a few months ago. The band sings, because you remember my sermon title is just Be It, if you missed that. The band sings, decide what to be and go be it. Decide what to be and go be it. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. I will record that and you can listen to it on your phone if you can't remember that. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Say that back to me. I am the salt of the earth.
I am the salt of the earth.
I am the light of the world.
I am the light of the world.
Jesus has made it so. Jesus has blessed you. Jesus has blessed you in this call. So claim it. Stop hiding from it. Believe it every single day. Decide to be it with all that you have. Decide and go be it. Because the kingdom, the world that we complain about every day lately, God, it needs you to be it. Amen. If you want to go down and fellowship a bit more before you head out for the day, the students are going bowling together and C2 is meeting after church. There's lots of things coming up, and check out your bulletin, pancake breakfast and and lots of other good things coming up. Meet up and eat up is this week, so check out your bulletin, and we hope you can join us for those events and be a part of this community. So go now, knowing that what?
We are salt.
We are salt and light of the world.
You are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Decide to be it. Go in peace.